science.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Probably Science. I am not your host, Carmen Morales, comedian extraordinaire, science enthusiast, but also American dummy.
And I am Andy Wood, actual host.
Mm-hmm. I'm Jesse Case, one of the hosts as well.
And I'm Matt Kirshen, coming at you with repaired teeth.
Yeah, he's had his teeth fixed.
It'll be Carmen and I gigged together 2 days ago, so she saw the
before picture.
The before, yeah. I was going to say before, but it's kind of also after, because it's part of a process of me repeatedly breaking my teeth and having them repaired over the course of 30 years.
Is this the same tooth you broke on the bottom of a pool?
That's exactly that tooth. Yep, okay. That's the one. The one that I've told jokes about on stage and that I broke in the science museum. That's the, which I think ties it in neatly.
What, there was
to
a pool in the science museum? What's going on?
Oh, these are all separate occasions, Jesse. I broke my teeth four times. Two of them aquatic.
Wow. two aquatic, wow.
Yeah, two aquatic. One of them was, it was diving into a pool. There was trying to climb up a water slide and slipping. Like, you know when you're kidding, you're like, we'll go up the water slide the wrong way.
Yep.
And then you land face first. Beer bottle, that was the most recent time I did it. And for the first time, if you go to the Science Museum in London, which is a great museum in general, but there's also, if you've got young people or, you know, you can pass, there is a section called Launch Pad, which is like this kids explore section. And that's where I broke my teeth the first time. There's a bunch of little experiments you can do. One of them is a turntable you spin around and you like hold onto a handle and you spin around on this turntable. And as you kind of lean out and you slow down and then you lean in and you speed up again. And now the handle's padded, but it was not in the 90s.
Sure. Sure. But the most recent injury that you were getting fixed was because of a sandwich, right?
Well, so I don't count this as an injury. I don't count that as actually breaking my teeth. That was just my previous repair to my teeth came to the end of its natural life, and it happened to coincide with bread.
But the sandwich was the catalyst, boys.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. Perfect. It was. If it wasn't that sandwich, the other ones were me doing something dumb, like doing something that I shouldn't have been doing, or being careless with a beer bottle. But you know, like the other ones were a mishap on my part.
Sure, but this one was eating. You eat a sandwich while you snowboard, and look what happens.
Exactly. You know? This one was just I ate dinner in the way I normally eat dinner, and it just so happened that it was its time to go.
Was it the first tooth I ever lost as a kid? Was I was eating Honey Nut Cheerios and I swallowed the tooth. It went down with the Cheerios, but I still like Honey Nut Cheerios. I mean, was the sandwich worth it? Was it a good sandwich?
It was. I said sandwich for ease, but it was it was backstage at a gig and they had taco fixings, so it was a tortilla. Was what I actually cut.
Hard or soft shell?
Soft shell.
Wow.
Now I'm confused.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, what's happened is Matt lied to us and said it was a sandwich. And yeah. Then prying, he caved immediately.
Are we about to get into this, is a taco a sandwich argument? Is a burrito a sandwich?
That's not even a real argument. It's only the British would even think that's a debate.
Americans call hamburger sandwiches, and I think they are their own thing.
I don't think we do, actually.
Do we?
Yeah, I think you're making that up. Whatever idiot said that, it speak for all of Americans.
Oh, you're calling Ronald McDonald a liar?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm calling the fictitious clown a fabricator.
I would argue that if we were going to get willy-nilly with things, then I would say a hamburger, sure, is a sandwich, you know? But that's about as far as I'll go. But then it's like a taco. That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous claim.
Which means a hot dog is also ridiculous.
Yeah. I think the hot dog claim is ridiculous as well.
Is it because it's a hinged bun, and if the bun were just split completely and then reconstituted?
It's all going to be carb, protein, carb. It's all going to be that.
Right, which a hot dog can be if you just get rid of the hinge, just like make it into a top and bottom bun.
Yeah, what's the acceptable topology of a sandwich?
Well, I have no horse in this race.
Does there have to be a continuous plane of bread? Or a non-continuous plane of bread, rather?
Well, I mean, so this is where it comes down to, I mean, this gets into, you know, we're getting into things like gender roles and things. The hot dog does not identify as a sandwich.
Is a gender role a sandwich?
No, like, no. It's the same as the tomato identifies as a vegetable, and we respect it.
Can you make a gender role out of any kind of bread? Like, or are there specific breads that gender roles have to be?
Well,
I feel like once you have a specific kind of bread, much like a pita, like a panini is a kind of sandwich, right? But I think once you get into a specific kind of bread, like if you just have a pita pocket, that's not a sandwich anymore. Once you have like a bun that's specific to a kind of thing, it becomes its own thing.
I would say it like this, right? Is if your friend calls you up and they say, hey, let's go out and get some sandwiches. Right.
They don't mean a burger or a hot dog. They don't.
Right.
Mean
if they took you to a hot dog stand,
they don't mean a burrito. They don't mean a wrap. They mean a sandwich.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, but I think in the technical sense, if we were like, okay, what is a sandwich? Then, I mean, sure, you could lob all sorts of shit in there, you know.
But I do like the idea of these friends just like suggesting an outing where if you don't order what they order, you're going to be banned from the friend group.
Yeah, you got it's Sandwich Saturday. We do it every Saturday.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, a sandwich is an item of food consisting of two pieces of bread with meat, cheese, or other filling between them.
Okay.
So hamburger, like letter of the law, but not spirit of the law. Let's say that.
Correct.
Sure, but a taco, no way. Not in there at all.
Right, but a tostada could... Oh, wait. What? A tostada is just one layer of...
A mulita would be a sandwich. Like that. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, this or has been torta. Sandwich chat. This has been...
Sandwiches.
This has been
either
probably
way, the
sandwich.
The funniest part is that is what broke Matt's tooth.
Yeah.
Soft.
So Carmen got to see me... trying to like slightly lisping my way through a gig on Saturday night. I'm slightly lisping now numbing agent has not yet worn off.
Were you doing your new chunk about how you don't have a speech impediment? I bet that confused the crowd. I know you have this massive new chunk about not having
and
a
how
speech
I hate impediment. How I hate whistling.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you hate it. It makes you uncomfortable. It's a
so
funny chunk.
How's it looking so far? Is it matching, like, color-wise? Is there a line? Can you see
Yeah,
it?
It's looking... I think he's done a good job. I think the dentist who was recommended to me by friend of the show, Leah Bonema, did a solid job. And for not that much money.
Not considered a crown. It's like a bigger filling.
No, you know? a crown was an option that was suggested to me. And I decided that I didn't want to spend four times as much money and... take two trips.
Now, as somebody with impeccable pearly whites, what is a crown versus filling? What's the deal?
A crown is a whole thing that, like, basically a whole fake tooth that covers your existing tooth.
Okay.
So they'll make it a bit smaller, and then they'll basically, like, put an entire tooth over the top of it.
Oh, so they shave down the existing tooth.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Whereas a filling, what I have, if you look, you can see where the actual tooth starts, and if you look closely, you can see where real tooth finishes and fake tooth starts.
It's very poetic.
But it wasn't enough cost that you would have, because I wasn't rooting for this, but I told Matt if he was going to go crown, that's what I did my little Mexico adventure for last year, and it was, you know, also interesting just to, like, now I know the ease of the medical tourism at the border. And the level of professionalism. So I would do it again if something crossed a certain dollar threshold and I was currently unemployed.
Sure. Sure. I mean,
you go to Algodones, Mexico, and it's the entire town is dentists. It's right at the border. Everyone parks on the American side, walks over, and as soon as you start walking down the street, everyone's trying to get you to come into their dentist office.
I don't like the idea of... I'm not averse to the concept, but
like
I don't like the idea
souvenirs?
Of like, yeah, I don't like the idea of dentists like leafleting, like trying to fly you into their business. Well, like those, a nightclub rep. Sign spinning. In Magaluf.
But those are the dentists that are
Come in, but we got the best dentist. We get a free shot.
Those dentists are just starting out, and if they get enough people and they get to do 5 minutes of dentistry at the end of the night, they stand on the corner with their flyers.
They get paid in drink tickets, too.
Yeah.
I feel you, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Been there.
So much exposure to get down there. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. I hate, like, you know, when you're trying to just. You're just trying to practice dentistry, but you're one of these places that's like, yeah, you got to bring three patients.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you know.
There was a place in Seattle where I would go to try to fill cavities on the weekends. They made you wear a suit. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, but happens, man.
A dentist hates when they're asked to work clean, you know?
Yeah. It would be weird if you had an assistant, like if that was a thing that stand-up comedians had, like magicians, like that was just a known thing. We like had to have an assistant, you know?
Did dental assistant prompt you into that thought? Like,
yeah.
Would a comedian's assistant also be like hosing saliva out of mouths while you're talking?
Yeah, a comedian's assistant would do most of the work, and then he'd sort of come in
at the last minute, check out the audience.
Like, okay. Yeah,
I feel like
you
guys are describing a feature right now.
Sure. Well, sure.
Are you a feature or a comedy hygienist? I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
I did refer to the dentist assistant today as the opener.
And, nice.
Actually, I was about to Google this today because I was just noticing I could see a little bit of plaque at the bottom of my tooth. I think I'm getting near the end of my 6 month window. And I meant to Google this just to see how risky it is to just buy one of those metal hooks and do a little scraping at home. Like,
dude,
how dangerous could that be?
I have done so much at home dentistry. Go for it, man. It's
What's
fine.
Gonna happen?
I chipped a tooth way in the back one time, so I didn't give a shit. But it was like way sharp, and I went to Home Depot and bought a file, and I filed down.
No. Oh my
I really
God.
Did. This is when I lived at Bluebell. We were living together, and I just filed down my tooth. Like I gave it like three or four scrapes until it was smooth enough, and it was fine. It was fine. Now I'm not encouraging anyone to do any of that. Don't actually do that. But that is what I did.
That's wild.
But I wonder if you can actually. I guess I could look, but. If you could just buy one of those actual dental tool scrapers and you scrape the face of your tooth, what bad could happen from that? You know?
You could take the enamel off and your teeth will deteriorate faster.
Are you just ChatGPTing this right now?
No.
Oh. Are you a dentist? Because you have to tell me legally.
No, but I ask my dentist a lot of questions. I was like, what the fuck's the point of you? If I can pick my teeth at home. And,
but they're not
going to
answer
so
that, honestly. Like, they're going to, you know, they want to keep their gig.
I mean, not really. I mean, he doesn't need my business. He's a fucking multimillionaire. Like, he's a good dentist.
Okay.
And because I was moving away, I was like, I don't want to, because I'm very particular about people. Like, when I was little, I used to bite the dentist. Like, I don't fucking like the dentist. So I was like, if I find one that doesn't like creep me out, truly, that's why I was like, I'm not gonna go to another dentist because it'll take me forever. I'll get in the chair and then I'll be like, nope, this ain't working. And
if you bite a dentist well, is it bit of them like, good work?
Well, when I was a kid, we lived in this really tiny town in North Carolina, so there was like one dentist, and. I hated dentistry because my dad. So we had this dentist. I won't reveal his name, but I'll say it to you guys off air or whatever. But my dad used to do construction. Right, he was like a construction worker in the town, like a little contractor, handyman, whatever. And everybody was fine. Everyone survived. Everything was fine. But my dad ran over the dentist's kid one time. Like,
oh my God!
My dad was like backing out of a driveway, and the kid was there, like playing with a toy truck or some shit. And my dad like noticed immediately the kid was everything was fine. It was like he didn't really run over him, but the bumper like hit him. And I feel like the dentist always kind of took it out on me, like I'm gonna fuck up your kid. And I would get like very violent cleanings, you know.
I think it's pretty ballsy to keep going to that dentist after
your
dad.
There was no other dentist, and that's what my parents are like. To let you know a little bit about my parents is. They were just like, no, we have to. That's the dentist that's closest. They didn't think at all about any sort of revenge. It was horrible, man.
Revenge dentistry.
Yeah.
What a great name.
By the way, there are so many dental scrapers on Amazon for sub $7. This one I'm looking at has 7,000 reviews, 4.5 stars. So a lot of people doing the at-home dentistry, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the same with those. You get those, like, pimple popper kits.
Oh, really?
You know, like, those loops?
Oh, yeah, they have the little hook on it and stuff like that.
But I always wonder, like, hold on, dental scraper, is that what it's called?
I didn't think it would be that stupid, but it is, yeah.
What I like to do when something like that's going on is I go to eBay and I look at, because like the dentist is not using the $7 one.
You don't know that?
No, I don't know that, but I'm looking, I'm just looking at the prices of like, okay, what's a dental scraper? Like what's a real dental scraper that they're getting in there? You know what I mean? Yeah, I guess they're about like $100 for a good one.
Oh, okay. So maybe don't go seven. Maybe go halfway between those two.
I mean, I don't think it's that. I mean,
or also don't do it. I think now we are liable if somebody scrapes.
That's why I'm saying nobody ever. Don't ever file don't your tooth to, down with a like.
Yeah. Be Jesse.
Yeah, you know what? Like a
Matt
mess
is keeping his powder dry here because he knows we are now legally responsible.
No, don't ever do that. I. It was very sharp. It was like a very sharp thing in the back, and I was like, hey, I'd probably file that just a hair until I go to a dentist. Right. You know. Because I bought that wax. You know, like if you go to Walgreens or something, they have like dental wax. If you have like a sharp, it's like if you chip a tooth, right? If you got like a really sharp something.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
I thought it was so you can get nice and like hairless with the dentist.
Yeah. 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 Normally,
did I just waste a lot of time this morning?
You go to the dentist?
Yeah.
I thought everybody did. I thought you had to shave.
I set an alarm this morning. Like what?
Yeah, I do. I do the whole thing. I always wondered why they had stirrups at mine. It's really weird. I guess they're
tooth,
not,
right?
I guess like $30 is about what you should be paying for a good tartar scraper.
Okay,
that's what I'm.
But also, you shouldn't be doing it. Don't.
But also, don't do
us.
It.
Also, yeah.
You know, don't do it.
Don't.
Yeah, don't do it. But, you know, although I could be way off. Like, I like to search, like, if you type in anything on eBay and just search, like, highest to lowest, like, if you type in, like, stapler, it'll just be some insane Victorian shit for, like, 80 grand. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Like, the highest. Let's look at stapler, highest to lowest. $15,000 is the highest price stapler.
Isn't that also sometimes just the algorithm going crazy? Like that book on flies that ended up costing $200,000 because two algorithms were chasing each other.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be it. Yeah. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wasn't it like one of them was like, it was two. That's right. It was two different accounts, wasn't it, on Amazon, and they were just both running bots, and one of them was designed to be like 5 cents cheaper than the cheapest one on Amazon, and the other one was like designed to be was clearly like a drop shipper where they didn't actually own the book, and their plan was always to just buy it, send it to the other person, and pocket the difference. So theirs was set to be like 25 cents more than the cheapest.
Okay.
So it just kept going up in increments where it just kept like going.
Wow.
It was like, all right, it'll be 25 cents more, then this will be 5 cents less, and then 25 cents more and whatever until there was this book on sale for like $1 million for a book on flies.
Wow.
Worth it.
Worth it.
You know what else is worth it? Before we get into stories, we got to remind listeners that things are coming together for 229 and beyond. It is now a two-day affair, June 7th and 8th in 29 Palms, California. And we will have the website and tickets up soon. I think we should still wait a week on announcing, even though we have a great headliner and tons of fun events. We're going to have stand-up science and stargazing all happening in one really cool spot. We also changed venues to a new spot that's opening up that's going to be this kind of beer garden event space adjacent to a hotel, so everyone can come out for the weekend and just be within stumbling distance of where they're sleeping. We'll have these awesome high-end telescopes, great, great comedy guests, and some music fun. And also, there's this like a quarter to a half mile walk back from the hotel is this paved area that is, I think, technically BLM land. Like, So I'm just anticipating late night, it's going to be a wander back into the hills, bring a folding chair, crack some brews, and look at the stars, you know? After we've looked at the stars. I'm just super pumped about the whole weekend.
Yeah.
All that sounds like something to do on mushrooms.
I mean, we can't stop you. There's no way to test.
We can't stop.
Listen, I'm not telling you how to spend your time, but I am implying if you have any, bring some.
Yep. We're going to have dentist chairs. If you want to hop in, let one of us give it a go. It's going to be an awesome time.
And Matt and I were just talking about the fact that we haven't seen you in person in 9 years, Jesse.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I kind of look hilarious. The same. Yeah, no big deal.
But that's crazy.
That is crazy. Well, we had
it
a
is
pan-
crazy.
To- we had a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we
that
had
accounts
a
pan- for 4 of the 9 years, sort of. Or
sort of. Sort of.
Yeah.
But no, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And then I'm going to get my stuff. I got stuff in storage in LA. I'm going to get my stuff. I'm excited about
whoa.
That.
In paid storage or at someone's place?
Paid storage.
How much have you spent for 9 years on LA storage?
Well, it's not important. He's
been paying rent here, essentially, this whole time. I hope this stuff was worth it.
It was, but I'm very excited to get it out of there and be rid of that storage unit, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's one of those things.
I moved it out there when I found out there was a guy in my room. Like, I was
there was
paying...
a guy in your room? I forgot how this all worked.
At Bluebell, okay, so I got ass cancer and I left, right. And the house was not sold or for sale yet. So my plan was, come, you know, do cancer treatment if I live, whatever, come back, stay at Bluebell. But then about halfway through the cancer treatment, there's just some fucking guy in my room.
Like, but I was still there. How come I didn't know this? Or did I know this?
You did know this.
Who was this?
We talked about it on the pod. It was one of their friends, one of their boomer friends. And there was just some fucking dude staying in my room, which pissed me off because I locked the door when I left and I was paying rent the whole time. Like, I was paying rent the whole time.
Oh, so they were getting double rent?
They may have just been letting some freeloader in, but I was paying for that space. There can't be a guy in my space. So, like, so then I was like, fuck that.
Fuck this. Yeah,
and then I got my stuff out and put it into storage. And then I was thinking about it, and I was like, that is a sweet house. So, all right, I'll go back. And then they're like, we're selling the house. So then I was L.A. Then I was L.A. homeless and just in Nashville, you know, and all my stuff's in storage. So I got to get it, is my point.
When's the last time you set foot in California?
That was it.
What?
I left. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. I don't know. That's
yeah. And it's brutal because I'm looking at places out there now and realizing, of course, that like the place where we lived, like that's never happening again.
Oh yeah. We like, were nothing. So lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know because it was, I didn't. It was the first place I looked at. I'd been there for 2 days and I was just staying. I was like, yeah, I'll take it. And I didn't realize that wasn't real life. You know, so
every time I would lie in that pool, I would be like, this isn't going to last. I got to enjoy this. I'm like, how do you enjoy it more? I don't know. You're just in the pool. Like you're just, you know, it's brief.
Swim harder.
Yeah.
Float harder.
But I mean, I got really spoiled for that. It's like it's like finding some like one bedroom in the valley. I'm just going to be like, geez. All right.
$2,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a stupid place, man.
It's stupid. But I'm looking. I'll probably, you know, I'll move somewhere like very dangerous and it'll be fun though.
Sure.
You know, that's what we do, man. That's what we do.
What are the new, what's the new place where the poor kids who want to have fun are living? Is there even such a thing in the LA area?
I don't know. There used to be places where you could like, you could kind of pull it off. Like you could live, you know, you could just like live in Van Nuys.
I mean,
or,
everybody
like,
always
Park
used to go to K-Town was the cheapest. It was awful. Or your Westlake, that was like, it was the worst part of town and it was the cheapest part of town. But they would always get you because they charge you like $200 a month to park your car somewhere.
Right.
And then it was North Hollywood, but it's not North Hollywood anymore because everybody found out how nice North Hollywood is. So now it's really more like west of downtown. Is where it is, northwest of downtown, like Boyle Heights, all that stuff.
Yeah,
that's the new place to be gentrified, or that, you know, people with a little bit of money just so they can afford it.
Yeah, I just did my third move in Nashville because I keep getting pushed further out.
Oh, it's
you know,
it's
and it's like
everywhere.
The same.
It's a nightmare.
No, totally, but it's like the same thing. Like in LA, in 10 years, no one will live in Los Angeles. It'll be like, you know, like everyone's
going to be... Yeah, they're doing it with the same thing they did in San Francisco. Yeah.
Right, right. So, like, very soon, the next move I do, if I stay here, will not be in the Nashville metropolitan area. Like, I'm, like, at the very edge of it, and I was, like, pretty much downtown for a while, and it just keeps going.
Hey, you know what else the Koreans are doing apart from having a town in LA that's more expensive than it used to be?
What's that, buddy?
They own that town?
What else are they doing?
Yeah.
They're setting a new world record for the length of time they've sustained temperatures of 100 million degrees Celsius.
Well, they are
seven
hot.
Times hotter than the sun's core during a nuclear fusion experiment.
Oh, during an experiment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's Justin Broad sending this story. So fusion, we've done a whole episode on fusion before, but fusion basically...
But that was like a more jazz sort of thing, like a free jazz.
Yeah, exactly. It was when we say we did an episode of fusion, it was like half our episode and half Italian food.
Yeah.
It was
It
was like a Mexican Japanese probably science. That was the deal. So nuclear fusion, according to the CNN article and just general facts, seeks to replicate the reaction that makes the sun and other stars shine by fusing together two small atoms, which unleashes a huge amount of energy.
I hate those big atoms, man. I hate it. I'm glad they picked small ones. It's
often referred to as the holy grail of climate solutions, clean energy. It has the potential to provide near limitless.
Energy.
There is a limit, but... without planet warming carbon pollution. But mastering the process on Earth is extremely challenging. The most common way of achieving fusion energy involves a giant, involves a donut-shaped reactor called a tokamak, in which hydrogen variants are heated to extraordinarily high temperatures to create a plasma. So the high-temperature, high-density plasmas in which reactions can occur for long durations are vital for the future of nuclear fusion reactions, says Siwoo Yoon, who's director of the K-Star Research Center at the Korean Institute of Fusion Energy, which achieved the new record. Sustaining these high temperatures has not been easy to demonstrate due to the unstable nature of the high-temperature plasma, he told CNN, which is why this recent record is so significant. Also, like, it's got to really suck for whoever's taken the temperature.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't say how they do it, but, like, you know, you got to get in there really quick and out again.
I would assume, yeah. Okay, so this says they were able to sustain it for 48 seconds. So that's cool. I was thinking that, like, it was going to be some millisecond situation. Like, this is the longest we've been able to do it. Because it was a nanosecond before, you know? Right. But that's actual time. That's an
48
actual,
seconds, yeah.
That's an amount of time. You know, that's a... What is that? That's a sex, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's an amount of time. You know, that's a long
session. When you're by yourself in like an airport bathroom and you got a flight to catch, yeah.
That's a long, a borderline tantric amount of time, I'd say.
48 seconds. Sting 48 over seconds. Here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a.
Somebody's bragging.
That's also such a girl's response there, Carmen, because no guy is ever truly alone in an airport bathroom.
You guys don't go into the poop stall?
Yeah.
You guys don't do that?
You know, this. Which senator was it who got busted in the airport?
Larry
in the airport
Craig?
One?
Is that right? Larry
was
Craig?
That it?
Oh, was he a pastor? He was a pastor, wasn't he?
He was a senator. Pretty sure. Bathroom. Why isn't this auto completing? This should auto complete when you type his name. Oh yeah, Larry Craig. Yeah. That was 17 years ago. Wow. I don't know why that makes me feel old, but seems like just yesterday I was a critical politician.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, but this fusion reaction, 48 seconds, and we've talked about this, I think the last time we did a story about this was that they were using AI to stop the plasma from sort of tearing apart somehow, and I thought that would be a part of this new breakthrough, but I'm not seeing any mention of that in this article, so maybe, also I ran that by a friend of mine who is maybe the smartest person I know.
My ears are burning.
We should have him on. He was the reason we got Matt Walker in San Francisco, because he was working at Google at the time, and Matt had just done a lunch talk there, the sleep expert. But this is my friend Chris, he got his PhD when he was like 25 from Stanford in engineering physics or something. And he's very skeptical of AI being used to bring about scientific breakthroughs. And he thinks that like I sent him the fusion thing and he was like, that's clickbait. And I was like, wait, are you saying it didn't actually stop this tearing from happening, or that's not a big breakthrough? So at some point it'd be interesting to get him on, or anybody who knows more about, because I mean, so much hinges on if we can get fusion, so much in our world gets fixed, you know?
You guys watching that Three Body Problem?
Just finished it, yep.
No spoilers. I haven't started yet, and also I just started reading the book.
Oh, okay.
I'm on episode 6 or something. I don't know. I'm almost done.
It's a pretty unfilmable book series, so, you know, I think they did a good enough job considering how much of it is
right.
There's so many things that are conceptual and spanning a book that spans centuries. You know, people aren't going to want to jump around that much, probably.
Yeah.
TV wise. So very curious what the rest of the seasons do. I guess this one kind of got through. There were parts of books 1 and 2 in this season, but it still feels like they couldn't wrap it up in just one more season. They'd have to do at least.
I didn't know there were multiple books.
There's 3 books and they're very long. I actually started last summer on audiobook and I still haven't finished the 3rd because by that time they've introduced so many new characters, I sort of forgot we're so far in the future and so much is different from the beginning.
Okay.
It's a bit hard to follow. Are you reading it, Matt, or listening to it?
I'm listening to it, which is probably the wrong way because there's, like you say, there's a lot of characters and it's probably quite
so
confusing.
Hard.
But
they're not in a language you.
Yeah, that is true. It's much harder to keep track of who's who because all of the names are Chinese and, you know, it's just not a
it's
name
not
that I'm...
in your... Right, yeah, yeah.
It's not something you're familiar with. Yeah, your memory
it's
works best with
to
things
see
that, you...
That's, yeah.
No, your memory... Yeah, it's not at all. Like, your memory... That's the reason why memory experts, like, attach object, like, real-life objects to seemingly random things. Like, if you're trying to memorize the digits of pi, or playing cards, you kind of go like, all right, this number is someone holding a hat or whatever, and you tell a story because it's much easier to have things you have associations with. And I have lots of associations with English language names, and I don't have those same associations with Chinese language names.
Right, right. You can't think of your friend.
Is that why you've always made me wear the hat?
Yeah, because I'm trying to learn the first 6 digits of pi.
Yeah. Yep.
By the way, what
did you guys talk about the hydrogen collider results on here yet?
No, the hadron collider.
The hydrogen collider they were trying to they're like two scientists were trying to figure out, and their research both went in opposite directions. So like there was the determining factor was going to be by the hydrogen collider and. One of them did like a documentary and everything, and then the results came back and both of them were incorrect. Like both, it was completely inconclusive. So all your entire life's work, it was like 30 years of work either one way, and then 30 years of work for the other scientists the other way, if the results were depending on which way the results were, and then the results came back inconclusive. So both of their life's work was for naught. Well, not for naught, because obviously you could still get your research can further someone else's research, et cetera, et cetera. But 30 years and you think you're going to get an answer and then you don't get an answer.
Well, I don't understand. What were they trying to find out, and why can't they repeat?
I think you do mean the Hadron Collider. Right, the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I didn't know that this was
hydrogen. Yeah, you said hydrogen.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
No,
yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was just not criticizing. Just clarifying.
So why can't they repeat the experiment, or repeat? I would assume they would try to figure out next, like why.
I'm certain they could. It's just been 30 years worth of work saying it's that they're trying to prove one particular hypothesis.
Oh, okay, they're just trying to prove a thing that may not be the case.
Right. It was 30 years. But the funny part of it was two completely different scientists, both having opposing views of what is. Right. So the result ended up being that they were both incorrect.
Mm.
And I think that stings even more than you just being wrong. Because if it's you're just wrong, if you predict something and you end up being wrong, but somebody gets it right, then you still get an answer. But if you both conclude completely opposite things and neither one of you is right, I feel like that stings more as far as a person who likes to figure things out.
And this wasn't the Higgs boson, or was it? I'm looking up a Wired article from 2016, because I didn't know about all the back and forth with this.
They did. Like, there was a documentary on it too, I think. I'm so awful at remembering. It's part of the reason I never went into science. I always liked it, but I didn't. I was awful with remembering.
Mm. Oh, no, it's fine. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to skim this Wired article that's summarizing it quickly in a way that we could talk about quickly. But I don't remember this. I don't remember the LHC having something that was disproven. So this is 8-year-old news to me. Or else we covered it 8 years ago and I've just forgotten. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean,
yeah, I don't think it was 8 years ago what I'm talking about. But
oh, okay, maybe there was something more recent. But yeah, things get revised. Like, we could get into this story in a minute also, but now people are sending us this article about how maybe there's a way of explaining what we were explaining with dark matter without saying there is dark matter. Maybe dark matter isn't real and there's a different reason we've detected, basically, this gravity that didn't seem to come from anything.
Speaking of editing, did you know that the scientists, they say they've successfully eliminated HIV from infected cells using Nobel Prize winning CRISPR gene editing technology?
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yep, works like scissors, but at the molecular level, it cuts DNA so bad bits can be removed or inactivated. The hope is to ultimately be able to rid the body entirely of the virus, although much more work is needed to check if it would be safe and effective. Existing HIV medicines can stop the virus, but not eliminate it. The University of Amsterdam team, who will soon be presenting a synopsis or abstract of their early findings at a medical conference called ECCMID 2024. Just rolls off the tongue there. They stress their work remains merely proof of concept and will not become a cure for HIV anytime soon. So no raw dogging on the streets. Not just yet, you guys. Dr. James Dixon, Stem Cell and Gene Therapy Technologies Associate Professor at the University of Nottingham, agrees, saying the full findings still require scrutiny. Much more work will be needed to demonstrate results in these cell assays. Can happen in an entire body for future therapy, or to determine if. I think there was a bit of a typo in the article there. There'll be much more development needed before this could have impact on those with HIV. Other scientists are also trying to use CRISPR against HIV. At Excision Biotherapeutics, just not an evil-sounding name, just a great... Great, not a bad guy in an 80s movie. Just Excision Biotherapeutics. What could go wrong with this robot policeman we've made? They say after 48 weeks, three volunteers with HIV have no serious side effects. But Dr. Jonathan Stroya, a virus expert at the Francis Crick Institute in London, said removing HIV from all the cells that might harbor it in the body was extremely challenging. Off-target effects of the treatment, with possible long-term side effects, remain a concern. It therefore seems likely that many years will elapse before any such CRISPR-based therapy becomes routine, even assuming that it can be shown to be effective. They're
still
getting
impressive.
It, they're able to cut it out of a cell, which is a new, new way to do it.
Seems like sci-fi to me.
Sure, sure. It does seem like it's an awful lot of cells you got to go through, though. I don't know. I mean, they would have to figure out a way to put it in a pill or you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to go through your body. Yeah, they're not going to one at a time that. Well, fascinating.
Yeah, good work, guys.
Yeah, good work.
So the fact that everybody's statistically been raw-dogging more is good. It's good.
Yeah, it's helped science.
Have they?
Now
been?
It's.
Have they been?
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
hasn't.
Oh,
have,
yeah.
Haven't the prophylactics gotten pretty good with that?
I didn't know.
Yeah, but you got to get people to wear them.
No, I'm sorry. I should say, as prophylactic medicines. I don't have firsthand experience with this, but I've I believe that PrEP has changed things for prevalence.
Oh,
of
you
HIV.
Mean with HIV? Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, PrEP's like a good preventative. I just meant like in like just the way more people are raw dogging.
I didn't know the raw dogging. I didn't know the raw dogging numbers were up.
Oh yeah.
Most of the time when
Gen Z don't give a fuck.
I thought half of them were like if a sex scene in a movie is the characters did not consent, and then the other half are like, I can only come if you spit in my mouth. Like it's the weirdest, most like back and forth. I mean, I don't know. Like what do you mean they don't give a fuck? I thought they were very prudish.
It's also like. The people who are having sex are not having protected sex.
Got it.
So, yeah, okay. There's a large portion of them that have no interest in it. It's the generation that has the most asexuals. It's the generation that where people aren't interested in that. Where you get more of a demisexual. I mean, that's like the big surge in demisexuals and all that shit. That's happening in a younger people than more so than in our generation. So then, but the people who are having sex... The caution has been put to the wind.
Got it.
So overall, your theory is that sex is down, but among those who are doing it, it's up. Or is that not? Am I summarizing correctly?
Yeah.
Sure. It's just that they're not having protected sex.
Sex is up and unprotected, even though like population wide, people are
just protected. Sex is down.
Protected sex.
So
is down.
Of everybody that's having sex, unprotected sex is up.
What do you attribute that to? Just nihilism, end of late stage capitalism.
I feel like that helps. I mean, if you think about every generation is influenced by the previous one, and the previous one would be millennials, us, right? Yeah. And us have been pretty doom and gloom as far as the earth goes. So I think if you're raised by people telling you that the world's ending, I mean, it's the same reason cocaine and cigarettes are back. I feel like there's like a lot of, I don't give a fuck then. I mean, it's the same reason why like the voter turnout is the lowest it's ever been just from this past primary, the lowest it's ever been since the 1700s. So with all that into consideration, yes, it seems like I was born on a sinking ship vibe.
Is that true? I thought voter turnout in at least 2020 was really high. Am I?
That's 2020. I'm talking about this year, 2024.
But just now, it has already dropped off again. Because you would have thought there would also be that.
These were also weird ass primaries, though.
I mean, yeah.
It was like two locked in nominees.
How many people even like? I'm not affiliated with a party. I couldn't vote in a primary. I don't think. Is that how it works?
Either Republican or Democrat registered, you can't vote in the primary.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people also just aren't registered to a party, like, right? That's a total guess. I don't know.
But just in all the primaries since the 1700s.
This is still the lowest, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I voted in the primary, and the parking lot was full of people raw-dogging. It was crazy.
Nice.
I went down there smoking cigarettes.
That's what I like to see.
Raw-dogging.
Doing blow off of each other's raw genitals.
Yep.
Speaking of raw dogging, you guys, I just got a text that here's a dilemma. I hope he doesn't listen to the podcast because he'll hear me discussing whether to help him or not. My buddy just told me yesterday he's going to go on an adventure and ride his dirt bike up through there's a path that connects Pioneer Town, where Pappy and Harriet's is, to Big Bear. And it is not a real road, and it takes like 4 hours, even though it's only, you know, 40 miles or something like that. And I was like, he's like, I'm gonna go there and back tomorrow. And I was like, wait, isn't it 4 hours each way? He's like, not the way I'm gonna do it. I'm like, okay, good luck. Because he had just told me he tried to do it in his four-wheel drive pickup, but it's such a bad thing, you can't even do that. So he's gonna try it in a motorcycle. Who do you think called me 6 times in the last 10 minutes, and where do you think he is right now?
Oh no.
So yeah, if I go get him, that's going to be a 4 hour ordeal for me from here to get up to Big Bear on the regular roads and back.
Maybe. Well, how do you get him if he's not on that road though?
Well, maybe I haven't called back to see if he's all the way up. And then I'm also going to miss rehearsal for Joshua Tree Philharmonic, which I forgot if I told you guys I joined the Joshua Tree Philharmonic.
Oh, you doing tuba?
It's a trombone.
Trombone. Sorry. Yes. Trombone.
Oh, Nice. I didn't know you played trombone.
I grew up playing it, and then I found this thing up here. I was like, oh, this is fun as shit. And we're going to do shows the weekend of May, like 8th through 11th, if people are in Joshua Tree at the time.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, so do I skip out on this recording and miss rehearsal because my idiot friend decided to do something stupid? And it's snowing up there. Like, I mean, I don't know why you would choose now as the time to...
Sometimes you just got to dirt bike into them hills, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to.
I might mute and just give him a call, and you guys continue for a minute if you want.
Yeah, we'll do another story.
Okay. I will check in with an update in momentarily.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, should we do...
Probably drama, huh?
Yeah.
Probably
sounds
drama.
Right. Sounds right. Yeah.
So there is... While we're talking about drama, mice eating seabirds on a remote island? I like this
alive.
Story.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This story was sent in... Actually, was it sent in by a couple of people? Oh, no, that's another good story. But, I'll find who sent in this story in a second. Liam Kennedy sent this in, but if I didn't know when it said like mice eating seabirds in the link he sent, I assumed that meant seabirds that eat mice, like
right.
Mice eating seabirds. But no, this is mice that somehow are the birds just sit there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
swarms
these
of mice
are
just nibble.
It says, it cautions you that there are distressing images, and boy, are there ever in this article. Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, I don't like this story at all now.
Go down to the very bottom. Look at that last picture. Horrible.
Man, what is that? Oh, Jesus.
Horrible stuff.
I don't think that's Jesus.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do this story now. Liam, this story is horrible.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you thinking, man?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll put it in the show notes, but just click on it at your peril.
Yeah, there's a bunch of murderous, weird cannibal mice down in the old Marion Islands.
Oy. What makes it even worse is that, like, that's where the albatross live, and we're like... Our numbers are dwindling of the albatross, so the fact that these motherfuckers are killing...
Well,
kill a different bird.
Well, that's what they're trying to figure out, is how to do it. And they, I guess... hold on. It says, so back in Cape Town, they pointed to a... They're trying to figure out an eradication program. Back in Cape Town, they had a previous eradication program on the island. Scientists brought 5 cats to the island in the 1940s, to deal with the mice at their research station. Those unneutered cats quickly multiplied and began feeding on the seabirds. So by the 1970s, around 2,000 cats were killing an estimated 450,000 seabirds every year, and it took the South African government until the 1990s to eradicate the island's feral cats. And then the mice are back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a big, big problem down there, I guess.
Poor damn albatross.
I know, man.
What the hell? Yeah. They're like the only monogamous bird. Like they have I just go out, I get my food, I see my wife once a year, I love her, I don't fuck nobody else. We just have a little family, and everybody's trying to kill this goddamn bird.
I know.
Okay, guys, I'm sorry I missed the beginning of this. Can you summarize? How can birds not fly away from mice?
I'm not sure. Is it one of these ones where they're just so unprepared?
Because they are tiny mice. Like, if you look at the article, if you look at the actual mouse, they're little. I mean, they have a video if you guys want to see it. But I think they're also chewing on the babies.
The younger
so
chicks.
So the baby can't fly yet.
It says the younger chicks can't yet fly away. The mice have learned to attack where a bird's plumage is thinnest, usually at the head, to more easily reach the soft tissue.
Oh, yeah, this is one of the most brutal as far as the accompanying photographs of hard articles.
Yeah, they're really going for it.
I mean, this one at the bottom, this is like some Cronenberg stuff.
Yeah, why is it lit with
why
red?
Why did they light? Yeah, yeah. They brought it in studio. Like, can we take that from the top? Let's get the
Oy, that's gnarly. What's going on with your friend on the trail there?
Well, he needs someone to drive to his house in Morongo Valley, pick up his truck, drive that truck up to Big Bear to load the motorcycle in. I'm like, well, that's like a 5-hour. But I'm like, and he's like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, well, is this a passive aggressive? It's fine. Like, do you want the people to call, or are you going to like curl up in the snow?
What do you mean by no,
tonight?
It's fine? Like, it's just like, no, seriously, it's no problem. No, I'm the one who's the person who you're asking to do the favor is meant to say that.
No, I was saying like all the things that I have an appointment in 40 minutes to get my brakes fixed on my car and then rehearsal. And if he's going to be sleeping in the snow tonight, I will skip all those things and right. The rest of my day. But like, he was saying, no, it's fine. As in like, no, I can call the people. I'm like, well, so if you're just saying that, then call me when we're done recording and tell me if you're just,
I'm confused.
That,
so he took the dirt bike, he made it there, but now the dirt bike, he can't bring it back.
He got a flat and then he limped it into Big Bear. It's so funny. Cause as I was talking to him last night, I'm like, aren't you worried about, like, also on that whole winding path, I'm sure there's no cell signal when you're between Pioneer Town and Big Bear.
Why isn't he just, now he's in Big Bear, why just get a replacement tire?
He said there's no place up there to do it, which I don't understand how motorcycle stuff could be that different from, I mean, how could there be no place that has motorcycle tires? That just seems impossible. Mm. But what do I know? I don't know. So worst case, I could try to put him in touch with, trying to think of friends who live up there or have places up there he could maybe, I don't know. I trust that he's not being passive aggressive and is calling other friends, and I will check in again after our recording and see how he's doing. But this is all like so predictable. You know, this is why, like, people have talked about taking that road, which I'm sure it's a fun adventure, but like people do it in groups because it is such a bad, it's such a shitty place to break down if you do. So anyway,
has anyone scientifically figured out how much of a friend you have to be? Like, what's the right amount of, like, how much of an inconvenience to my life do I need to provide to maintain a friendship? Has that been figured out yet?
I don't know. I mean, if I had nothing else going on, I think it'd be like a fun little adventure, but I'm okay.
Right.
I'm
looking, you have shit to do. Yeah. I think that's why it's harder for adults to maintain friendships is because so much of life has taken up your time to donate to other people's lives.
Okay, here, I'll drop a link to this route. I guess it's only 20 miles. Why have I heard it takes so long?
I mean, but also you should probably get your brakes fixed before you drive up to Big Bear.
They've got some, they're not making noise yet. I just got new tires and they were like, you're almost metal on metal and back. But until I hear a squeak, I ain't gonna, I don't know what rhymes with squeak. That would be a good rule of thumb for brake maintenance. No squeak, no tweak.
Yep.
That's my brake rule.
That's
no
what
squeak,
that's
no
what
tweak.
Say around the shop.
No squeak, no tweak.
I'm also very bad at car things.
Hey, what we're like, firstly, I think you should not go and I, you know,
should not help him out.
Yeah, and I'm saying this because I'm like, you know, one of these days I'm probably going to break down somewhere, and I don't want you to be so burnt out on helping.
Oh,
people,
you're
going to
burn
like
it all
so,
out. Yeah, yeah.
And while we're ruining things for people, this story, I like this story that was sent in by listener Andrew Miller saying, it's from Bath University in the UK, CBD products don't ease pain and are potentially harmful, according to a new study. They're a waste of money
cover
and may
your
actually
ears,
do you harm.
Hippies. Sorry.
Yeah, there is no evidence that CBD products reduce chronic pain, and taking them is a waste of money and potentially harmful to health. CBD, which is short for cannabidiol, is one of many chemicals found naturally in the cannabis plant, is a popular alternative treatment for pain, and is readily available in shops and online in the forms of oils, tinctures, vapes, topical creams, edibles such as gummy bears, and soft drinks. However, consumers would do well to steer clear of these products, according to this new study. CBD presents consumers with a big problem, says Professor Chris Eccleston, who led the research for the Center for Pain Research at Bath and also used to be the lead in Doctor Who. It is touted as a cure for all pain, but there is a complete lack of quality evidence that it has any positive effects. He added, it's almost as if chronic pain patients don't matter and that we're happy for people to trade on hope and despair. For their study, the team, which included researchers from the universities of Bath, Oxford, and Alberta in Canada, examined research... I'm bringing the Canadians in for weed research as well. Big deal. You know they know their shit. They examined research relevant to using CBD to treat pain and published in scientific journals up to late 2023. They found, firstly, CBD products sold direct to consumers contain varying amounts of CBD, from none to much more than advertised. They found CBD
products
sold...
to a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think both of those are bad, right? If you're buying something to find out that actually either doesn't contain any of the thing that you're selling or contains
no
a shitload
all.
More.
Like, yeah.
They also found CBD products sold direct to consumers may contain chemicals other than CBD, some of which may be harmful and illegal, some illegal in some jurisdictions, including THC, which is the main psychoactive component of the cannabis plant. Of the 16 randomized controlled trials that have explored the link between pain and pharmaceutical-grade CBD, 15 have shown no positive results, with CBD being no better than placebo at relieving pain. A meta-analysis, which combines data from multiple studies and plays a fundamental role in evidence-based healthcare, links CBD to increased rates of serious adverse effects, including liver toxicity.
Eesh. Carmen, are you a THC or are you a weed person?
Yeah. Big yeah. fan. Big fan. I feel like... Oh, go ahead.
No, just like ask if you use it for pain or just for fun or...
I have used it for both. Like, I've used the topical stuff for, like, back pain or, like, a knee injury, stuff like that. We also had a family member that was, like, in chronic pain and, like, they gave him the maximum amount of, like, morphine and all this other stuff. And, like, CBD was the only thing that was, like, relieving that. But I think if you're getting it administered from a doctor and not just, like, from a gas station, I feel like that makes a difference as well.
It does. Although this study says one of the things they checked was pharmaceutical grade CBD and showing no positive results in 15 out of 16 trials, which is surprising. Also says that there was a direct correlation between THC and eating Doritos.
Oh my god!
You guys know about the munchies? You guys know about the?
You heard of these things?
Yeah. Is this thing on?
It is. I've always thought it kind of. I've never thought that the marijuana in general and its derivatives, I've never thought the argument should be medical. Like, the argument should just be, like, just who cares is the argument. Because, like...
Oh, but it does, I mean, for some things, like anti-nausea, like people who are on drugs
of
that
course.
Make them not, like, that's real. That's
of course.
Or the little girl with the seizures, we all remember that, right?
Yeah, what I'm saying is it's very difficult to... Like, if you're talking about, like, smoking a hoodah, you know, smoking a bit of a joint, taking a toke off of a marijuana cigarette over there.
A hoodah?
Yeah.
Hoodah like, copy?
If you're talking about something like that, I don't like how... How do I explain this? The weird medical treatment of it sort of thing... And then, like, if you go into any pot shop, it is always packaged in things that are horrible for you anyway. It's like Sour Patch Kid gummies. Have a fucking Twix bar weed. And it's like, well, you can't say this is healthy when it's already not healthy without the weed.
It's mixed into a Mountain Dew Code Red, right? Yeah.
Right, and that's, like, not something a doctor would be like, take this, you know? So it kills its own argument a little. I'm not arguing against it having medicinal purposes and all that. Of course, I just think it's. I think some of the marketers of said things killed.
Right,
it's
hard to take something serious that's called gorilla titties or
right.
green crack or you know
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
they kill their own argument a little. You know, that's
yeah,
all
even
I'm
if it's
I mean,
like pharmaceutical
CCs
grade gorilla titties, like,
yeah,
yeah. It's
just silly.
It just kills its own argument a little. That's all.
Yeah, I remember trying this, trying everything when my disc ruptured before I got surgery, and like just regular weed. I remember thinking like, okay, now I'm just high and my back hurts. Like it didn't, or taking an edible, you know, I was like, that's not, which I think is kind of what I feel like on opiates, on like prescribed opiates post-surgery. It's like, does the pain actually go away? Are you just pretty high and like you don't care?
Well, opiate,
it always seems like more like mental distraction to me.
Yeah,
just how like you could burn your hand and not realize it. I think they do the same kind of thing where it's just like, oh, if we distract you enough, you won't pay attention.
Well, no,
to
they
pain
are
receptors.
An anesthetic. I mean, there's anesthetics that cut off the pain receptors in your brain, and then there's things like nerve blocks that stop them at the nerve endings. And you know, they both work. You know,
maybe it's just some kinds of pain, because for the disc stuff, pushing on the nerve, like nothing was doing, and everyone comes out of the woodwork with their own pet theories. Like,
of course.
You need this exact mix of CBN and CBG and CBD and CBC, and
right.
I was like, one of those is Canadian TV, I think.
But, yes, yes, it's Canadian news. What is this happening here? Yeah, I hear you. Pain,
but yeah,
I don't like it.
So what happens? CBD? Do people stop even? I mean, first of all, no one's going to believe this. You're going to be like, Western medicine. I'm like, okay, it just means, can you do it twice in a row? Is all, like, whenever I have friends who are like, okay, you and your Western medicine. I'm like, it just means, is it repeatable? It just means, like.
What does that mean, Western medicine?
When people want to believe, like, that everything about, like, the scientific method is biased and flawed, so everything must be better in other non-evidence-based kinds of medicine. And I'm like, no,
holistic versus Western.
Or just wait, holistic isn't the bullshit one. Holistic just means taking into account a whole person. Homeopathic is bullshit.
Holistic, when that word is used, there's a reasonable chance that something that's bullshit adjacent is coming up.
Right.
right.
But just throwing away people who want to just like disregard the scientific method because of times it hasn't been implemented well, or times that biased humans haven't implemented it well. It's like, all that method means is just like, can you repeat this or not? More or less, you know, like, otherwise you're just doing guesswork and you're just, you know, like this. I heard this one person felt like this, so I'm going to go with that. Like, okay, you want to base your health on that? Like, all right. I'd rather just have a ton of people tested with and without it and compare the results. And
I mean, don't those people generally bail when it's them, though? Like,
no, people get even more. People are like George Harris, or, you know, people
or they,
go
yeah,
to
they
like
die.
Crazy countries.
Then they die.
Right.
Yeah.
But first they go to a country where there's some quack who's going to like do some, you know, non-cutting surgery, Reiki massage shit because they're desperate. But like, that's not a sign that that's good. It's a sign people get desperate towards the end, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
know. It came off as too mean. I'm just...
No,
if shit's been proven not to work, let's stop doing it.
No, it's not mean at all. It's one of my biggest pet peeves, man. You know, not to bring up like the cancer horse shit, because I have an identity separate than that, everyone. but it's, you know what I mean? I gotta like get away from, like, I'm like not talking about it on stage anymore and shit. But like,
I don't want to be the cancer guy.
No, and plus there's too many of them now. It's like there's literally, it's like hacky.
What am I, a hack?
Yeah, there's too many comics.
It's one of those
cancer
comics. All right,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah,
have you guys ever considered touring together? A cancer comedy tour?
Yeah, yeah. It's
Kings of Chemo. Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Kings of Chemo. Absolutely. We do it. Yeah. Yeah, it's but it's, that's like people come out of the woodwork with all the bullshit you got to do to fix it, and it's all like, all of that would be, if any of that cured cancer, like I don't understand how somebody arrives at that. That's like oh, you have to, like, I was told that you have to drink alkaline water because that'll starve the cancer. So like, drink a bunch of alkaline water, just keep drinking alkaline water. But then it's like, yeah, but like, companies that want to make profits still make the fucking alkaline water, and it would be much more than $1.50 down at 7-Eleven if it cured cancer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wait. If something's good for you, it must cost a lot, is your hypothesis.
That's not my hypothesis. Okay. My hypothesis is like, okay, like when we used to joke about it, like the tea enema, right?
Yeah.
Remember you guys used to send me all the, like, have you tried a tea enema stuff as a joke?
Yeah, I think it was daffodil. Was it daffodil tea?
Daffodil tea as a joke, right? And it's like, because, you know, Big Pharma doesn't want you to know about this. And it's like, yeah, but like Big Lipton would love you to know about it. If like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That's what I mean. It's like, I'm sure the folks at Nestle, if they found out they're sitting on the cure for cancer, would figure out, would keep it a secret, for fuck's sake.
So, and if it was repeatable, they would pay for the scientists to run the study to show that it cures cancer.
So, like, very rarely are there things that can't be made into profit that are like... So I'm just like, if that worked, whoever runs most of that and sells that would be all over it. That's all I know.
Okay.
I get that.
One question, though. Don't you think people who were making more money off of cancer existing and treating cancer would try to stifle any of that kind of research?
No,
I don't think that's ascribing some real weird nefarious, like, I think most people who are trying to cure cancer are trying to cure cancer.
Yeah, like, they're people that are trying to cure cancer are trying to cure cancer. And the people that make money, all the companies that make money off of things like chemotherapies, for instance, don't make the majority of they make less than 1% of their money doing that. That's like, you know, they make their money from selling fucking Viagra. Like, it's
hell yeah.
You know, I don't buy the argument that there's this weird, shrewd, secret interest in keeping cancer around, because it's also like there's not just going to be a cure for it. It's too vague of a word. It's like calling something the cold, like what, cellular mutation.
So you think it would be similar to the HIV situation where they're going to figure out a way to weaken it before they're able to.
No. What I'm saying is cancer is an encapsulating term for many, many diseases that involve cellular mutation. So there's never going to be a cure for cancer. They'll cure a specific type of breast cancer, and then a few years later, a specific type of... You see what I'm saying? It's like you're not just going to cure cancer, because that's...
It's not one disease.
It's like saying, like, we found the cure for virus.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But no, I don't think there's any... research stifling. Also, whoever finds the cure for cancer is going to make so much more money than they would selling, you know,
whatever things you would want out of human life, you would get them out of being the person who cures cancer. whether that's right. Love of everyone else in the world, or all the resources you could want, or like
right, or charging charging more than what a cancer treatment costs for it.
Not if your mom owns a wig shop.
yeah. I've never.
I still have my turd ribbon on my fridge as we speak.
I'm so glad, Carmen. I'm so glad.
No.
Sometimes I see those out and about. Like,
are responsible for all those.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can tell when I can tell when it's one of mine. Like, it's a specific design that I had printed, and that's all that there is of it. So like, it's a fucking ribbon with chunks of corn in it. It's like a brown ribbon with chunks of corn in it.
I forgot about the corn.
Yeah,
I forgot the corn. The corn makes it.
The corn makes it.
The corn makes it.
Yeah, because the colon cancer ribbon was fucking lame. So every now and then, like, I was at a doctor's office. And this makes sense because it was in my mom's medical network where she works. Right, so it makes sense that she like handed these out, you know. But I saw one in like the mini fridge in the nurse's station. I was like, holy fuck. that's my colon ribbon.
That's my merch.
Hey,
holy shit.
I got my merch back there. What's going on over here?
Hey, my asshole made that. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess my point is they're trying very hard to cure it. It's just I don't think it gets the funding it needs, but I don't think anyone's trying to not do that or like has an interest in it continuing or whatever the fuck.
But have you tried colloidal, or as they said in that cult documentary, colloidal silver?
Oh, those are people that were like turning blue and shit?
Yeah, and they kept calling it, they don't even know the word, and they're drinking it and turning blue and dying. You're calling it colloidal, like it's a collision, and like, Yeah. And your leader just turned into a Smurf and she's dead now.
Is that the lady they wrapped in Christmas lights?
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, I didn't watch that documentary.
Oh, I thought it was the actress from the original Willy Wonka film.
Veruca, wait, is Veruca Salt the one who turns
purple? No, the one that turns into a blueberry.
Oh, Violet.
What the fuck was her name?
Violet Beauregard.
Violet. Violet, you're turning Violet, Violet.
Yeah. Ah. Did you guys see the new one? I haven't seen it.
I haven't yet, and nope. I should. I should. Like, those guys are great. The people behind it.
I'll watch it as long as the unknown shows up. I need that.
Oh no!
It's the unknown.
It's in the walls.
That's Wonka canon for me now.
Oh no!
It's the unknown. And it's just the cut on the video. Oh my god.
We got to work on having like a production of that at Tatoya 9 and beyond. Maybe we can.
Yeah.
Get
well, just... I told you some drag queens already got on it. Because you were saying at the time, like, I would go to this just to see the train wreck, and
right.
A bunch of London-based drag queens saved you the trouble, or saved people the trouble of traveling up to Scotland and paying a con artist.
Amazing.
And instead you get to pay some lovely drag queens who did their own version of the script. But anyway, Carmen, we should wrap up the main episode, save one story
okay.
for the patrons, but where can our listeners find you and everything that you do?
Oh, CarmenMorales.com for all of your Carmen Morales needs.
And go see Carmen do stand-up, will you? It's fucking mayhem hilarious. Just go see her do Carmen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will be yelling, but I won't be mad.
Yep.
That's what's nice about it. At The Funny Carmen on all the assorted social media, I have a podcast as well called Gravy Baby for, you've heard of, what's it called? Toxic positivity. This is positive toxicity. It's like people who try to be good even though our brains are broken. I have a little thing on a little set on the Comedy Central YouTube if you don't mind watching, and I got a little special on HBO Max. Just look for my name and it'll show up.
Awesome. Get on all of those things. You will not be disappointed. And you can find us, as always, probablyscience.com is our website. That's also where we put all the links to the stories we cover.
Carmen,
and also links
credits.
To our Patreon. Yeah. Links to our Patreon stuff. You can find all that. You can find us on Twitter, at probablyscience, individually, at Jesse Case, at Andy T. Wood, and at Matt Kirshen. And if you have any questions, comments, clarifications, and stories you would like us to cover, any of those things, you can email us, probablyscience@gmail.com. So do all those, do any of those, do whatever you want. Spread the word, tell nice people about us, and we will see you all next time. And Carmen, thanks again for joining us.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.